Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Dissidents and Dictators, the flagship podcast from the Human Rights Foundation. My legendary co-host, Casey Michelle, is here with me, alongside the best producer around, Omar Alfotihi. We've got a somewhat somber episode for you today. Last week, our friend and previous guest, Tanelli Maseko, was arrested and detained as she entered Swaziland in connection with her husband's assassination last year. She's since been released, but will she have to return? What does that mean for her future? Mohamed Keita, the Human Rights Foundation's Africa Policy Officer, is here to answer all of those questions. Stay tuned.
Hi, Mo. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Casey. How are you?
Good. Mo, for the listeners, where are you calling in from today?
I'm calling from Chicago, the Windy City.
The Windy City. I'm sure it's beautiful out there this time of year. Thanks so much again for joining us today to talk about this. As Alicia mentioned, somber topic. I know, Alicia, you just gave some of the details of what we know. Mo, can you fill us in on Tanelli's situation? What happened? Where is she now? What details can you share?
So Tanelli Maseko moved to South Africa last fall with her children because she did not feel safe in Swaziland anymore, months after her husband's assassination. And last week, she returned to the country as she has been doing for the last few months. But this time, the police in Swaziland detained her, and they claimed that her passport had been flagged as a wanted person in the murder investigation of her husband. And so she was detained by the police, and they wanted to interrogate her. She was forced to appear before the police the next day. And this time the police insisted on interrogating her alone without her lawyers. She faced a team of about 8 officers who wanted to take her in a room and interrogate her alone. So her lawyers refused, and she was asked to report back today, which she did. And this time, with all the pressure, with all of the international mobilization around her, the police has postponed the interview a second time. This time we don't know when. They haven't indicated a date, but they have at least returned her passport and her phone, and she's now on her way back to South Africa.
Mo, for our listeners who may not have heard the episode in which Tanelli was on, can you tell people who her husband was and why he was assassinated and why this is an ordeal in the first place?
Yes, Tanelli Maseko's husband was Thulani Maseko. Thulani Maseko was a preeminent human rights lawyer in Swaziland. For years, he had been defending ordinary Swazis, but also dissidents and pro-democracy activists who were being persecuted by the kingdom and the monarchy for freedom of expression, for protesting, for demanding peacefully democracy. Swaziland is Africa's last absolute monarchy. And for over four decades, the Swazi people have been asking for democratic reform. And Thulani Maseko was at the leading edge of this movement. He was a peaceful advocate for democracy and reform. He had been in prison twice for his peaceful activism. And even in the midst of so many tensions in the country and even violent unrest in 2021, he was the firmest advocate of nonviolence. And so for many, many reasons, he was such an unlikely target of assassination. Mm-hmm. His assassination in January 2023 came as a shock, mm-hmm. Because he was the one of the coolest voices in the mm-hmm. room. And his assassination really shook the Swazi community, the Swazi pro-democracy movement to the core. He was also at the leadership of this coalition of civil society and religious organizations, which had been seeking an internationally mediated dialogue with the king to push for democratic reform. And so he was not only a human rights lawyer, he was also a pro-democracy leader for the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't just shake those in Swaziland as well. The assassination certainly shook plenty of us, those of us who have followed Thulani's work. Mo, did you know Thulani personally? Did you have a chance to interact with him before his assassination?
Yes, in fact, the last time I spoke to Thulani was probably a couple of months before he was killed. We had been in touch. I had met him previously at the Oslo Freedom Forum. I had been aware of him since he first was arrested back in 2009 for sedition, for making remarks at a public rally noting the lack of democracy in the kingdom. And again, when he was arrested back in 2014, I was aware of his case. At the time, I was very involved with the case of the other individual who was arrested with him, a journalist, Becky Makubu. They were both arrested because of columns that Thulani published in Becky's newspaper criticizing the abuse of power by the Chief Justice of Swaziland at the time. And all judges and justices in Swaziland are appointed directly by the king.
So the assassination took place last year.
January 21.
In front of his family. Tenele, who, again, Thulani, I think a lot of folks who've been following the news out of Swaziland, they were familiar with Thulani and his work and his role in the broader kind of Swazi pro-democratic reform camp. I don't know that as many folks were necessarily as familiar with Thulani as a person, as a figure at the time, but certainly since that assassination, mm-hmm. she has not only continued his legacy, but built upon it, which is, of course, why she was targeted and arrested mm-hmm. by the regime a few days ago. Mo, can you talk about how Tenele has built upon and continued that legacy? Again, if the regime was hoping to silence Thulani and end these pro-democratic reforms, they have abjectly failed.
That's right.
How has Tenele herself mm-hmm. continued that legacy?
Yes, on a human level, I cannot imagine what Tenele has had to go through, having witnessed her husband getting killed in front of her and her kids, having even chased the assassin, confronted the assassin before he ran away, and having had to take with her hands the pieces of her husband's head, and you know, after mm-hmm. he was shot in front of her. I mean, it's just unconscionable. But you know, despite all this, she is an incredibly strong woman who is really an inspiration and a model for all of us, really a picture of strength and courage under fire, because, you know, within days of the assassination, she was speaking out and calling for justice for her husband. She was speaking at public forums. She has used every opportunity to elevate the case of her husband at the international level, at human rights conferences. She has consistently called for justice, reminded people about Thulani's struggle and his commitment to the end. And she has been steadfast in speaking out. Quite the contrary to what you might expect. She has not been cowed into silence. And in fact, it's because of her ongoing public and international advocacy for her husband that it's an international and public advocacy for her husband that has irked the Swazi government. When she spoke at the, when she received the Global Magnitsky Human Rights Awards on behalf of her husband in London in December, the Swazi government was very upset at the remarks that were made at that conference. And not all of these remarks were made by her, but it even prompted the Swazi government to issue a press statement. And they clearly were very upset by the negative publicity, and they threatened to prosecute her. This is really when the Swazi government began to go after her. And we saw again in January, the Swazi government taking issue with statements she made and threatening prosecution. The prime minister even made statements threatening prosecution against Tanele Maseko. So instead of carrying out a thorough and independent investigation, the Swazi government is focusing its resources on persecuting and re-traumatizing a widow. It's really unconscionable.
Mo, and she has also been, the target of a lot of smear campaigns on pro-regime websites and social media posts as well, many of which are either trying to frame her for her husband's murder, which seems to be where the police investigation was trying to inch toward, or at least implicating her benefiting from his death. Can you speak on those?
Yes. Shortly after Thulani Maseko's assassination, a lot of fingers pointed to the king of Swaziland, Mswati III, because Thulani had been assassinated just a few hours after the king, in a public speech, basically gave public license to kill anyone opposed to his rule and members of the pro-democracy movement. Mm-hmm. So for good reason, a lot of people suspected that the Swazi regime is involved in Thulani Maseko's assassination. This was a targeted contract killing. There was reports of suspicious police activity around Thulani's home before the assassination. There were reports that bullets in his body were removed by the police. Anyway, there was all of these allegations, but there was no investigation. But instead, what we saw was that these pro-regime websites began to publish these wild conspiracy theories, deflecting attention away to Thulani himself, to Tanele Maseko, to the pro-democracy movement, to a nebulous international conspiracy involving international NGOs and the media to tarnish the reputation of the kingdom. And so these were very vicious smear campaigns, against Tanele. And she displayed incredible grace and restraint throughout all of this. And she has continued to really advocate for her husband despite all of this.
Oh, it's been incredible to watch. Again, largely from the outside looking in, but even in just speaking with her just a few weeks ago. And again, for folks that didn't get a chance to listen to that episode, we'll leave the link in the show notes itself. I think, Mo, one of the things that's, I shouldn't be surprised by this, but the fact that this regime continues reacting to criticism the same exact way that it did with Thulani in terms of pressure, and obviously ending with the assassination, that blowing up in their faces, that only amplified the criticism that much more, brought new audiences, new attention, and new criticism itself to the regime. I have to imagine given that we're talking about Tanelli's situation still, you know, we hadn't originally planned to have a separate episode this week on a completely separate topic, and yet here we are talking yet again about the crimes, about the imbecility, and about the aggression of the Swazi regime and the Swazi king in particular, again, the last absolute monarch, you know, a dictator, ruling this country for decades at this point. It's only going to blow up in their faces yet again.
And the thing, too, about that is that it's not out of nowhere that they are accused of or suspected of having a part in Thulani's assassination, because the king has been known to hire South African mercenaries to crush dissent over many decades or, you know, many years. So it's not unfounded that they'd be accused of this. But the gall of coming back as if, what, us? And then blaming the widow is appalling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's really so unfortunate. And the fact that they are so trying to frame this widow for her husband's murder and deflecting attention, trying to deflect attention, but it actually draws more attention again onto the case, again onto their role and responsibility, their failure to meet their role and responsibility in this, and the fact that we're not talking about the king's role and responsibility in this. This king has not said anything since Thulani Maseko's assassination. He has not condemned the assassination. The government, the civilian government, the cabinet did issue a statement denying responsibility in the murder, but it's a two-headed system. You have a king who rules as an absolute monarch, who is very clear about his hostility towards the pro-democracy movement, and then you had until recently a government which, put on a mask of attempting to claim that Thulani was never a target of the government, that he was not an enemy, and that they're committed to investigating his murder. But the mask has come off recently.
Come off in a very big way, it sounds like, Mo. So let's bring things back to Tanelli herself. You mentioned at the outset, yes, she was arrested. Do we know what the crimes she was charged with are, or the crimes she's alleged to have committed actually are?
No, the police did not disclose any offense, any charge, or any crime. They just told her that they needed to verify some statements that she made earlier on in the very early days of the investigation, that they needed to cross-check things she said. So that's all really they told her.
Yeah.
And the fear was, especially with the way she was met at the police station with, you know, this group of eight officers who wanted to take her alone in a room and interrogate her. So the fear was that they were trying to make her contradict herself or trip her up so they could charge her with an offense. We don't know what that charge would have been, but the fear was that murder was on the table, treason was on the table.
Now she's en route to South Africa.
Right.
I have to imagine, again, having known Tanelli a little bit from our conversations, and certainly everything she has done over the last year, almost year and a half, since her husband's assassination at this point. Look, I don't want to make any predictions, but I imagine she will not go quietly into the night. And again, if they thought this would silence her, they have another thing coming.
They have another thing coming.
Mo, in terms of, again, continuing not only Tanelli's fight and Tanelli's work, but also Thulani's legacy in Swaziland as well as elsewhere as an inspiration to those of us who aren't even in Swazi, can you tell us a little bit about the prize that we have coming up at the Oslo Freedom Forum to honor Thulani?
Yes, last year we launched at the Oslo Freedom Forum what we call the Thulani Maseko Human Rights Lawyer Prize. So this prize is named after Thulani Maseko and is meant to honor human rights lawyers around the world, and especially those working in dictatorships who are risking their lives to defend and uphold the rule of law and justice against repressive governments. So very much in line with everything that Thulani did throughout his life, using the law to defend the rule of law and democracy.
Do we know if the Swazi King has had any reaction to the creation of this award?
No, not that we know of.
He's too busy buying new choppers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure it's just a matter of time. I'm sure he'll have his own nominees coming in on our end very shortly, and I'm sure he'd love to join us as we award it this June in Oslo at our next Oslo Freedom Forum.
That's right.
Yes, the Swazi King prefers BMWs and Maybachs and private jets.
That's right, the private jets. Yeah, the choppers.
Sounds like a few other dictators I know.
For each of the many, many children as well. Can't outdo the other.
Yes.
So, I mean, we had a good time chatting about the extravagances there.
Yes, well, certainly not unique to that regime or to that type of leader itself. So, Mo, we will continue following Tanele's story. We will continue amplifying her work and continue doing what we can to continue Thulani's legacy moving forward, yeah?
Yes, we will. That was Thulani's wish. He was adamant that the Swazi people will never give up their desire to be able to elect a government of their own, to choose a government of their own, to have democracy. That is a non-negotiable demand. And Thulani was not an anti-monarchist. He was not for the ouster or removal of the monarchy. In fact, he disagreed with many in the pro-democracy movement who were calling for more radical revolution. He believed that the monarchy is a redeemable institution that is redeemable through democratic reforms. And he very much believed that this could be achieved through negotiations, very much in the way apartheid South Africa transitioned to democracy. And so Thulani should have been an ally to this king, because he was really for, you know, the most reasonable solution to this solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to keep Tanele in our thoughts, and I have no doubt on my mind we're going to be hearing from her very soon, and I suspect that she's just getting started.
She's just, you know, reworking those lyrics of that song anyway, so they're giving her more fodder for it.
That's right.
She's the best.
Well, Mo, thanks so much for joining us today. Next week, we're going to be back to our regularly scheduled programming, so long as the news cooperates with us.
That's right.
But Mo, again, it was great having you here. Thank you for filling us in, and thanks for keeping us updated.
We really appreciate it, Mo.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we'll talk soon. Bye, friend.
Ciao.
The Human Rights Foundation is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that promotes and protects human rights globally, with a focus on closed societies. We promote freedom where it's most at risk, in countries ruled by authoritarian regimes.